Hi, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat, Spirited Conversations with Interesting People. I am your host, Christopher Hart. And no, you're not seeing double. I am wearing the same shirt I wore last week, and I'm drinking the same cocktail, and not my first. This week, I sit down with, going back to the word prolific, one of the most prolific community creators within the cigar world. What goes better with whiskey other than a cigar? There's nothing. Cigars and whiskey go hand in hand. They're meant to be, they're star-crossed lovers. They can conflict at times, but no matter what, they're meant to be together. Eric and his son, Jordan, are the creators of Cigar Dojo, the Cigar Dojo community. They have a very fantastic following that, and I would consider friends. They both love whiskey. They both love cigars. I love whiskey. I love cigars. I did their show a few years ago, and I was thinking about Colorado. I was thinking about cigars, and I said, oh my God, how have I not talked to Eric? Eric is one of the nicest guys within the community. His son is a whiskey nerd just like me and a cigar nerd just like me. So it's like you've got this spectrum. Here I am in the whiskey world who kind of likes cigars. I think I really like cigars, but if you were to compare it to actual cigar smokers, I don't know shit. And then you have Eric, who is all cigars with a splash of whiskey, and no pun intended, and Jordan right in the middle. Jordan is just as involved in the whiskey scene as he is in cigars. It is a perfect bridging of three guys with interesting backstories. So on this week's episode, I sit down with Eric and Jordan from the Cigar Dojo. We talk about their community that's been built over the last 10 years and everything they're working on, and just, you know, cigars. Cigars are so gorgeous. I love them so much. They've been a big part of my experience in spirits, and I couldn't be more honored to sit down with these two guys. So without further ado, oh, wait, let's pay the bills, guys. I talk about them every week. I talk about Waterford. You see them right next to me. They're in my glass. I'll also give a different shout out. So the glassrev.com, they have something called Dram Hunters that they're working on. I saw Raj post some new Dram Hunter pours that look amazing. There is going to the spectrum of like experience and loves kind of all combined and crossing over. Glass Rev has, of course, a passion of spirits, but they also have this deep rooting into the community in terms of online, Facebook, and social media. They know what we want when it comes to drinking, and specifically with single malt, specifically with scotches. And they started this Dram Hunters program. Go check it out, glassrev.com. At the top of the link, at the top of the website, there'll be a bar that talks about the becoming a Dram Hunter today. And of course, go buy their normal products. Amroot, we've talked about them 1,000 times. I'm a huge Amroot fan. Waterford, Irish Single Malt, I'm a big Waterford fan. And it doesn't stop there. What Glass is doing with Rum Runner, what they're doing with Amroot, what they're doing with the Dram Hunters. I mean, it tickles your fancy in every possible way. So without further ado, please welcome the Cigar Dojo guys, Eric and Jordan. Cheers. So Eric, Jordan, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having us. We're psyched to be on the show today.
It was amazing. I followed you for quite some time. You and I, we met, I think, was it 2-3 years ago?
Correct. Yeah.
So. I got invited to do a smoke, night with you guys. We had cigars, and that was if I'm being honest, I think you were my first or really, really first interview, especially from home. And I go back, every once in a while to see screenshots. I had like saved clips, and, man, it's like the quality was like 360. Like I look back and I regret that so much, because when we did this show, when we launched this show, one of the things we always hear is not whether or not the guests are cool or the content's cool. It's that the production value is there. And I kick myself for shooting on like what had to have been the shittiest laptop available at the time.
Well, yeah, hey man, you're preaching to the choir there, because we go back and we look at our very first Smoke Night Live episode, and I mean, we were using Google Hangouts,
and it was the lowest budget quality you could get.
So yeah, we know. These things evolve. I mean, I think if I'm not mistaken, I think you guys are pretty familiar with the Bourbon Junkies as well. They,
Yeah.
yeah, they were filming. If you go back to those earliest videos, you're we've all come from somewhere, as they say.
Right. Yes, it's been a long road, but we're glad to be here today.
Well, for those who aren't familiar, Eric and Jordan, they are responsible for probably the most, if I'm being humble, or you know, if I'm being conservative in my play here, the most prolific and well-known cigar, not just app, but the culture, the I wouldn't call it a club. What would you call it? What would you refer to Cigar Dojo as?
Well, I mean, which we're a little bit of everything, but it's a community, you know. It's really that's the
Community.
main thing is it's a community, which is where what we wanted all along. We started 10 years ago, started with just a website, and then that evolved into an app, which evolved into some podcasts, which evolved into some cigar collaborations that we've done with companies, which evolves and you know it's been growing and growing and growing for 10 years. And but the main thing, you know, to re-answer your question is the community.
Yeah, the most prolific community of cigars and spirits. I mean, the app itself, I have not used it in a little bit. I kind of gave cigars a little bit. I have to take breaks with cigars because it well, if I sit at a poker table with a cigar, I'm gonna smoke six of them for as long as I'm sitting down. But it was like Facebook almost before the Facebook community thing kind of took off. And it was, and it still is one of the best places to find good reviews on sticks. And I mean, you have built. I'm pretty proud of the Houston Bourbon Society. I'm pretty proud of our community of 12, 13,000 people that kind of covers the state. You've built something that spans countries, my friend.
Wow.
Countries. So.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Yeah, people all over the world get on our app, and that's really humbling when you get on in the morning and you see somebody that's they're going to bed, you know, because it's nighttime where they are, and you just think, wow, like there's people all over the world that are doing this. It's so cool.
So, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe Jordan knows quite, I think both of you actually. I think the episode I did with you guys last time, I remember you pulled a fast one on me and busted out the William LaRue Weller as like, oh, is this a good bottle? You guys are quite prolific in spirits as well.
Yeah, I feel like now you've kind of passed me up on, in the bourbon game at this point.
No, that's not true.
I did. I brought the William LaRue Weller
To
this time
drink
as
to
well.
drink today.
Hey.
So we got a little bit of that and a couple other ones to share with you guys later. But yeah, Jordan, he's got quite a collection in the safe. It's locked up in a safe.
Pretty much just like leftover from 2012 when
Yeah.
I just like look at it. It's up there. I can't touch it, but
2012 was a fantastic era of spirits, like right before the nightmare began. One of the things that, so you guys are in Colorado, right?
Correct.
That's public knowledge. I'm not giving out the home address.
No.
I sent you a care package with one of our products. In particular, I believe it was the Prideful Goat Rye.
No.
Which is coming to Colorado. So we just got distribution in the state with Momentum. Momentum is one of the big distributors there that have quite a passion for products. So, and I was we took the family to Colorado in the fall. I've got this upset. One of my best friends. I have a childhood friend. I've known him for my entire life, 30 plus years. He lives in Green River. And if I had an obsession with a state outside of Texas, it would have to be Colorado. How is the whiskey scene there? I know that there's a few whiskey Hood River, William H. Macy's product. You know, of course, all your big what is it? 291 is another one. Of course, Stranahan's, you can't go wrong. High West. What's the whiskey scene there in terms of like the Facebook world?
Actually, you know, I don't really follow the I'm in this one. I am in a group called Mile High Bourbon Finders or whatever. But You know, honestly, I got to tell you, Christopher, like as soon as stuff got wacky back after 2012 there, nowadays, I'm not really in the chase or the hunt anymore. I just go to my local liquor store. There seems to be enough good options to buy. I think there's a pretty thriving bourbon community here in Colorado, but I honestly don't really follow it that well. Jordan, as far as...
But do you mean in terms of like distillers?
No, I meant the opposite. I was acknowledging the distillers initially, but the actual whiskey scene. I mean, when it comes to, we had an issue a couple months ago where word got out that the major store here in Houston was releasing some Stagg Jr. Mm. So people lined up at 7 a.m.
Now, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You did just say Stagg Jr., right?
That's correct, buddy. Okay. That's correct.
Okay.
And when you talk about things getting wonky, I'm about to tell you the shit show. And this shit show involves blood. So what happened was as soon as when what do you do outside of a store when they're not open? You line up. But theoretically, that's not an official line, right? So as soon as the door opens, it becomes a complete madhouse. Mm. And there was this bum rush to the aisle where they knew the Stagg Jr. was. People started grabbing cases, and then people started throwing elbows. So the police had to get involved. I mean, people are bleeding for Stagg Jr.
Jeez.
So I'm curious what the mat, you know, when I went to Aspen in October, November, we went November, we skipped Thanksgiving last year. It feels like, I'm not going to say a small town, even though it's a tourist town, it still feels like there's, you know, if there is a liquor store, there's plenty to go around. What's worse, cigars or whiskey right now?
Oh, obviously it's bourbon is way, way worse. Right, Jordan? Like, you know, there was a time even after 2012 when like for a year or so where you kind of had a chance if you did all the right things.
Yeah. If you leave a method for me to follow all the steps to do it, I'll still do it. But then maybe 2014, 2015, store after store, they all switched over to, you know, you had to, it was based on how much points you had at
loyalty
the store.
Points or
yeah, that pretty much just ended it. Cause like our liquor store, like, of course the only cool place near us, like they don't have a program like that. So we're just like, okay, I guess we're out.
Yeah. So they'll auction it. They'll private auction stuff. And that's why I was saying, like, I kind of got
burned out
on the chase. And now I just, you know, I did get lucky last year. There was a cigar guy I know, and he was able to get me a bottle of Pappy 15, which was super cool. But for the most part, I don't chase it at all. Like if it comes and falls in my lap, I'll be happy. But other than that, you know, like it's just too crazy, and it's too much of a time waster.
Do you? I mean, there's got to be some parallels to that with cigars. I mean, the cigar world, you know, went through a huge boom in the 90s, obviously. There was a little bit backing off of that. And I think it's kind of had this nice little golden era the past 10 or so years. But even now, the last two or three years, it seems like everything's on back order. I mean, have you noticed any kind of close correlation, or is it a landslide difference between bourbon?
Well, I mean, the big difference for us is with cigars, let's say there's a limited product out there. And there's only 2,000 boxes available in the world, and it's going to go to, you know, a certain amount of retailers. As long as you're, you know, quick enough, you can get your hands on it.
Oh yeah.
So even though there we are in another cigar boom, and the supply is definitely low at this point, it isn't to the stage where people are, where it's, you know, burning you out. If you want to get something, you can pretty much get something.
Yeah, I mean, just there. I think it's just because with cigars, there's so much variety. There's, you know, there's a really cool limited edition coming out, you know, every week. They're not all
like
good,
shoes.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas, you know, it's I think it's just due to the time process. You know, the bourbon takes so much longer that there's. I mean, in my mind, there's like only, you know, 20 good, really good distillers, and then into cigars, there's endless.
Yeah, that's a great point. There's just more available in every regard. Now that could change, and who knows? In 5 years from now, we could be having a different conversation. But as of right now, you know, cigars are still much easier. to get your hand, to get your hands on the product, even if it's sold out, like you can find somebody that's got it. Maybe you pay a little bit of a premium, but nothing like bourbon. I mean, let's face it. I saw somebody selling Pappy, or not Pappy, but Rip Van Winkle 10 or something recently. It was like $1,500. I was like, wait a minute, what is going on here? So there's nothing quite like that in the cigar world.
There's a local guy, Barry Laminick. He's a big headlining comic that travels all over Texas, and he has a show, and he was doing this charity fundraiser, and there are two options. You can either bid on the bottles, or you could do a buy it now price. It's some crazy markup, and it all goes to charity 100%. And I donated a bottle of Van Winkle Lot B, thinking that it would, you know, you can auction it. It may go for $700. Well, he's like, well, what's the buy it now price? I was like, I don't know, something impossible.
Right.
And I was like, $1,500. And he sold it in an hour. And I was like, God damn it. If I had thought of that, it's amazing to me. And a box of cigars lasts longer, right? Like I could four or five guys sitting around a fire with a bottle of whiskey, we'll kill it in one night. And no one's drunk. It'll just be a couple pours each, couple hours sitting around a fire. A box of cigars, I've never burned through a whole box in one night. I'm sure it's possible, but I don't understand. In the same way that I don't understand $1,500 bottle of wines, right? Like those you have to drink that night,
right?
Which is so much more heinous. but going back to Cigar Dojo and the backstory here, I don't think I've ever heard the story of how this came to be beyond just a website, where the name came from. You know, have you, in today's environment, have you guys caught any shit for the name? Like, is there anything, I mean, give me the backstory.
So yeah, I'll give you a quickie Reader's Digest version of it, not to bore any of the listeners, but way back in the day, over 10 years ago, I guess that's 11 years ago, we started a website called quickcigarreviews.com. And I'm sort of in, me and Jordan are in the internet industry. So we were just doing this as a side project because we like cigars. And, but that site started to take off, got some traction, and it was getting popular. But when that happened, we both thought, like, you know, this isn't really the name we want.
Lame.
Yeah, it's a lame, it's kind of a lame name. Quickcigarreviews.com.
At least we didn't have like something to do with ash. Tap that.
Right. There was no ash in the name, which was good. But it wasn't a marketable name. And plus, we wanted to eventually have a community around it, because I'd done a lot of online community stuff. And so Jordan came up with the name Cigar Dojo.
Because it was available.
It was available.
Come on.
Yeah. which is always a plus. And so that started the website. And about 6 months later, we started an app. And then once we started the app, that things blew up like super fast. And then it wasn't that much longer that both of us were doing it full time. And there's not very many cigar. There's only a couple other.
Well, we were the first social cigar app. I remember at the time we were basically competing with like forums, our whole thing was, it was so annoying when you'd go on the forums and you'd ask, guys would ask, you know, new guys would come on and they'd ask a basic question, and everyone else that had been there forever would get mad and be like, they point them to the URL where somebody already answered that question. And that just drove us nuts. We're like, if our app is like a modern non-forum app, you ask the question and somebody's just going to answer that question honestly every single time.
That's very common in the bourbon world as well. And I'm glad you brought it up, because there is there's a hard, like, if you're being intellectually honest, let's be honest with the scenario. You have these diehard fans who are on the app nonstop. You know, a lot of guys smoke two or three cigars a day. A good friend of mine, Alan Denny, down at Galveston Cigar Lounge, he's a four or five cigar a day guy. And your app is what got me into, like, become a little bit obsessed with cigars, right? So the very first cigar I found was Rocky Patel Vintage 1990, which is the one that, like, let me know that, hey, you know, I actually like this. It's not just, you know, when you're 19 and 20 years old and you're trying to smoke a cigar, you look a little bit douchey. You look like a little bit of a poser. You're trying to just, you're trying to enjoy something without looking like you're trying to force to look cool. And Rocky Patel 1990 was the first. But you start to get into these things and you're on it every day. And then you start seeing the same goddamn question so often, something that's been fully addressed many, many times. And you're like, well, how do you respectfully encourage people to use the search function without coming off as a snob? It's like this weird balance of, you know, you look like the dick for sending, for posting the link to the previous thread, but also it's reasonable. Like I'd love to talk about something more substantive than just, you know, what are your top five beginner cigars or whatever right. the case might be.
Well, we always sort of felt like it was just as easy to answer the question as it was to explain why I'm not going to answer
probably
the
easier
question.
Because you had to go find it, yeah. copy the link and then paste it.
So with an app, I mean, like our app of course is sort of like think of a mix between Instagram and Twitter and a little bit of Facebook thrown in there. So it's way easier just to answer the question, and it's way more helpful for that person too, because they don't know. Like that most of those guys come on there and they're not trying to be a jerk. Like they just don't know. Like they come right. on and they're excited about cigars and they say, hey, am I supposed to take the cellophane off before I put it in my humidor? You know? And so we just answer that question instead of like, oh, so, come on. That's been answered 57 times, you moron.
So many people leave the footband on when they light their stick. I had a buddy who told me he was a cigar fan. So I took him to my lounge and I was really into Leaf by Oscar for a little window. And he lit the cigar with the leaf on it. And I
That's
was like,
common, yeah, that yeah. one, you can understand yeah. that one though, right? Like,
yeah. yeah. You think it's just an ugly stick, but yeah,
I can even forgive like the cedar sleeve. Like I wouldn't do it, but you know, you can see how somebody be like that. Maybe that's part of it. But like, I have seen guys light it with like the foot ribbon on there. You're like, how could you think that was going to be part of the experience? It's a ribbon.
I mean, so we neither one of you are in Houston Bourbon Society, correct?
No.
Yeah. So we manage this Facebook forum and there is this encouragement to use the goddamn search function, which I also understand. You're right. It does take the same amount of time, but also if it took a little bit more time just to encourage the behavior to use a search function first, so that the feed doesn't get clogged with like, look at this bottle of Blanton's I found. Like, no one cares that you found Blanton. So, and it's not me being the dick. I'm the nicest guy in the forum. But at the same time, it's like, I kind of get why the dicks are bothered, because you want a community that has fruitful conversation, not a community that has the same five boring conversations. It's a weird balance of trying to change behavior while also discouraging dickish nonsense.
Yeah, I think, I mean, different communities have their own feel and vibe,
right?
And if you're wanting one that's more gonna getting into the weeds and stuff like that, you're right, you do want to streamline things a little bit. But we've sort of tailored ours towards you know, just everyday dudes, Joe Sixpack kind of smoker. So we sort of like the chaotic, you know, just there's constant new guys coming in asking questions and just the constant turnover. It's kind of that's the style of our community.
And I think that style leans more Instagram-ish, right? Like it's more like, hey guys, how's it going? I'm having a beautiful day. Look what I'm smoking.
Exactly. Right. So our tagline ever for 10 years is never smoke alone, which basically means
greatest look, tagline ever. First,
you know, wherever you are, it's crazy. It blows me away. So many guys, you know, they live 3-4 hours from a lounge, so they don't go to the lounge. Right. And to them, the dojo, that is their lounge. They open up their phone, they get on the app. Their friends are there. They have their own group there, whatever. And so their whole cigar smoking experience is enveloped into the dojo. And there are other people that have six lounges around them and they go to and that's their thing. But we've really catered to those guys that sort of really want this community as their kind of main community is what kind of what Jordan's getting at, whereas it's a lot more lighthearted. There's a lot goofy stuff. People are posting what they're listening to. Like it's not, there really isn't a ton of like super in-depth, hey, you know, like, how did they age the binder on the Don Carlos, you know, special? There's some of that. And we welcome that kind of topics, but it's really a lot more just like, hey, man, how you guys doing today? Check out what I'm smoking, that kind of stuff. So.
And you guys are the only app that I know that does this, right?
Okay. So here's the next topic. The next topic is.
Before you get into it, what are you drinking? The package showed up late. I'm going to pour me a whiskey.
All right, so I'm drinking some Four Roses Small Batch Select that I just grabbed on the way to the studio. I am smoking a Aladino Cameroon. This is Honduran-grown Cameroon, which is really unique and it's really good. The Lonsdale version of this cigar is absolutely delicious. Jordan, what do you got?
I poured some of that Four Roses, but I also grabbed some of the Willett Family Reserve. This is a 61%, 123 proof, 9-year. You see the rye a lot, but don't usually see the bourbon.
No, you don't. No, that's a Willett Family Estate. Some of those older, slightly older bottlings are just incredible.
Oh, so good. Like stone fruit kind of stuff going on. Super tasty. I'm smoking Perla de Mar Connecticut Shade. They recently revamped the brand. Sort of increase the body on this one. And it's my first cigar of the day, so I'm going with the Shade.
It's about a $6 cigar, so it's a great value. So
good value.
I had something that I'll bring up later, but I'm curious about some of the Nightmare, because you guys have done some collaborations with a few brands. I'm curious as to if... just remind me. Go finish your sentence before before I started drinking. You were talking about other apps. Let's do the other apps first. And then I'm curious about bait and switch, which happens in the cigar, which I'm curious if it happens in the cigar world, because something similar happened in my experience with a very well-known brand that I'm wondering if, you know, if you guys have experienced any nightmare scenarios doing some of your collabs, but we'll get to it in a minute.
Okay. So just real quick, a few years back, Apple started cracking down on tobacco related apps. YouTube started cracking down on tobacco related videos. Facebook started cracking down on, you know, all of the big tech started cracking down on cigar stuff. And it got so bad that Apple started banning cigar related apps in their app store. And at that point, they actually banned our app. I was able to talk our way back on for a year, which gave us time to redevelop our app. So now we have a progressive web app, which is at dojoverse.com. So if you have a phone and you just take, you know, direct your browser to dojoverse.com, it functions exactly like an app. If you add it to your home screen, you'd never know it wasn't an app. And that allowed us to add a whole bunch of new features. Now, as you smoke, you can earn belts, like, you know, white belt, you can yellow belt. Eventually you get a black belt. You can earn all kinds of other cool badges. Like if you smoke a lot of a certain brand, you might earn that badge brand, similar to like, the beer one. What is it? Untapped. Yeah, Untapped. So to make a long story short, we've had to not only battle, the government, which hates the big tobacco, but we've had to battle big tech. And so in the last couple of years, you know, our old app went away and now we're at a whole new platform, which is it's in a way it's great, because we're not beholden to anybody. Nobody's thumb is over us anymore. I don't have to worry about waking up one day and finding out that Apple banned our app anymore. We're free from all of that. So it's been a struggle, but we like where we're at right now.
But you guys are still the only forum for this, right? Like the main forum.
No, I mean, there's definitely other ones. But we are definitely the main one. A lot of those guys dropped off when Apple did what they did.
That Facebook groups kind of took over. For most of the app.
They did in a lot of ways. There's been a few people I know that have tried to start a whiskey app. There was one called Distilled that was like a review app. The Facebook forums were just so convenient and easy that they kind of took over everything.
Yeah. And so because of that, there's a lot of people that don't like Facebook. We're a good alternative if you don't like Facebook. And not only that, there's a lot of things cigar related.
Yeah, like stuff that's actually baked into the app that right. Facebook just can't do. You know, you can check into a cigar.
Right.
Like instead of checking into a place, like you'd normally think, you can actually check into a cigar and the app will start to learn about, you know, your habits, that sort of stuff.
Like, what's the name of the beer app that does that? Untappd?
Right.
Similar. Yeah, I don't quite understand. I mean, so yeah, is there, I mean, from a legislative standpoint, there's not anyone really fighting on behalf of recreational tobacco, except for, I know there was a lot of talk in the last couple of years, like Nat Sherman and their parent company were in some hot water for kind of, I know there's a great Smoking and Toasting, Ian and Cruz here in Houston, which is the oldest kind of spirits tobacco podcast here in the Houston market. They refused to smoke Nat Sherman for a little bit because they had kind of backed some of the legislative changes, but there's not really anyone fighting on our behalf per se on a large scale, especially when it comes to, you know, Google Play Store or the App Store or any of these things. Like even Facebook, I remember we were doing some big event, the Whiskey Social, and we had some couple of, you know, decent names in the cigar world flying in, and we couldn't even run paid advertisement because we mentioned the word Cigar Lounge. And so you, I guess everyone has had to battle that battle themselves, especially those who have built their whole life around it.
As far as tech goes, that's correct. Now, as far as legislation goes, we have lobbying groups. You know, we have Cigar Rights of America, which is the that's like the users, you know, cigar smokers themselves, the consumer based lobbying group. And then we have the Premium Cigar Association, and they are they battle on behalf of cigar retailers and manufacturers. So in as far as legislatively for, you know, with the federal government and for local governments, we do have lobbying groups. But yeah, like nobody's fighting. It's just, hey, it's me and Jordan fighting Apple. So, I mean, that's it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, I've been following you for a while. You're pretty active on Facebook for sure. Have you guys thought about expanding into a pocket on the Facebook platform?
So what happens with the Dojoverse is when you earn belts or badges and stuff, you can share your achievements to Facebook directly from our app. So we've never wanted to start an actual group on Facebook because that would kind of compete with ourselves.
Sure.
And so we just allow the guys that are the guys and gals on the Dojoverse to share their stuff to the various groups. And it really works great. Like our penetration into all these groups is pretty extreme because people are checking into their favorite cigar and then they share it to Facebook or Twitter and that kind of thing. So I'm active on all of the social media because I just want to see where our content ends up and make sure
TikTok
that,
though.
Yeah, I do. Yet. I do avoid TikTok, but actually, we do have it. We do have it.
We have an account. Okay,
we do have an account, but I don't think
I
I've
just
ever...
can't. I just can't. My teenage daughters, they each have one. They can have one. I can't. There's a very well known whiskey podcast called the what's the one with Kenny Coleman? Bourbon Pursuit, and they have done some TikToks that have gone viral, and part of my soul just dies inside. I just can't.
I'm with you.
So
I feel like there's not an audience on there anyways. It's just a bunch of 13-year-olds.
I mean, the audience, I mean, you're right. I think the audience does skew a bit younger, for sure. And there's something about the, I mean, are you on TikTok, Brandon? You're 40 something.
I'm on TikTok to watch stuff, not to post content.
Not to dance. I would pay money. I would pay a monthly Patreon subscription to see you re-perform a Britney Spears song on TikTok.
Well, we'll just keep waiting on that one.
So let's go back to collabs. So
right.
This is my pain story. And you guys, I know of a few people who've done collabs. I think you guys have done more than anybody. How many collabs have you guys done?
I think we're at 22.
It's a pretty decent size. I mean, can you think of another cigar shop or someone who's done more than that?
There's been guys. Smoke Inn has a large collection. I mean,
the term collaboration kind of gets muddy there's some sort of like shops boutique kind of geared clubs these days that's all they do. It's every, you know, every week there's some sort of collaboration that they've made. But the more traditional way you look at it, like Smokin's Micro Blend series is like one of the bigger.
Yeah. Like with ours, we take, you know, like our, every one that we do, we've spent a year creating it. Like this, you know, the ones that we're doing aren't these kind of weekly kind of soup. And there's nothing wrong with that either. It almost sounds like I'm insulting that. I'm not. I'm just saying our model is different. Our whole model is we want to make a really, really amazing cigar for our community. So that there's something unique and different. It kind of breaks up the year. People get excited about it.
We sort of try to build an actual brand that, like, if, you know, it is a limited edition, but if this ever needed to spin off into like an actual brand, it could, you know.
And that's happened three different times. So, you know, obviously the Drew Estate Underground Dogma, that was our first collaboration, and now it's a national product that you can buy at any, you know, Drew Diplomat retailer. We have the Espinosa Sarsaparilla, which is a national product. The Camacho Imperial Stout Barrel Aged was a national product. So some of these have turned into, you know, full blown releases.
What has been the biggest, I mean, everything from start to finish, or a big surprise when the product finally showed up? And I'll tell you my pain story to kind of paint the picture. So we have this big spirits festival that happens every year. We do about, you know, 1500 to 2000 people, 400 different whiskeys. We partner with a cigar lounge. We do a micro blend of, I think the minimum order at the time was 110 packs or 210 packs, something like that. So 2000 cigars, I think. And we got the samples in and they were brilliant. We went through, we rejected. I'm a nice, like, 6.5 to 7 inch, 52, 54 ring gauge. Like, you know, I like the Rocky Patel edges for like a nice yard gar, like just something out there mowing my yard, something that's got a great open draw, decent ring gauge. And so we went through, Cabal sent us a bunch of samples that, you know, that connection. Chris found us some different factory products we didn't really care for much. And then we landed on a very well-known brand. And what we tasted and approved, because it happens in the whiskey world, right? You have single barrel picks. You go to Heaven Hill, you taste an Elijah Craig barrel, you say, I want that barrel. They bottle the whole barrel and they send it to you. What we approved was fantastic. Great draw, great construction. Plenty moisturized. There was no dryness issue. What showed up in time for the event? Now, we sold almost half of it the night of the event. And this is what we were told. We were told, they're like, well, what do you want out of it? I'm like, I don't want anything out of it. We don't have to get paid. I'm not looking for a cut. I just want to do a cool project for the event. And so we didn't front any money. They fronted the money. And he goes, I'm not worried about it selling these particular small batches, sell like hotcakes. People are following them. They'll buy whatever boutique sells. So the night of the event, we sell half of it, about 110 packs. And the overwhelming amount of pictures that we received where at least half of every one of those 10 packs, as soon as you cut, just cracked and fell apart, just killed any chance of us doing a second blend or a third blend or even a private label. So we just felt in our hearts, we were like, is this a bait and switch issue? Is this a shipping issue? Like, I didn't know what to think. And what ended up happening is for 6 or 7 months, the remaining packs didn't sell. And so what the cigar shop did was just change the bands out. And then we've kind of been looking. We've been kind of looking for more, you know, what's next? You know, is it time? Can we do another project? I'd love to do another cigar project so freaking bad. And we have the audience for it, right? I mean,
well, we can talk offline and you can tell me who that was and
yeah.
See if we can solve that for you.
But, I'll tell you offline, but I'm curious if part of me thought it was this. I'm known as the whiskey guy. And I think that in certain conversations, if I'm talking to a cigar expert, that they don't really perceive me as the cigar guy. They perceive me as the whiskey guy who wants to do cigars. So in my head, what we, and my buddy Alan Denny from Galveston Cigar Company, we came to the same assessment because he is the cigar expert. He was like, I feel like it's a little bit of a bait and switch because also the cigar came out a little lighter than I remember, but we didn't have the original samples to compare. You know what I mean? So I didn't know what to think, but I wondered if this is something you guys have run into early on, or have you guys never had a nightmare situation with one of your collabs?
I don't think we've had a nightmare situation.
I think the opposite has happened more. Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. Usually you get the samples and you know that they're fresh rolled and it's going to be the eventual release will be better than whatever you're tasting, almost guaranteed.
Because they're fresh rolled and they haven't had time to age.
Yeah. So like when you're tasting those samples, you almost have to predict, you know, what 6 months of age is going to, you know, it's going to get rid of some of this, a little bit of ammonia taste. It might get rid of some of this, a little bit of a grass flavor. Like, and so you just get used to the fact that, okay, by the time these come out, they're even going to be better. And there's been times when we've had blends where we, you know, picked like out of 4 or 5, we picked one. We were like, yeah, we're pretty happy with this. It's pretty much what we want.
I guess we just got to go with it.
We got to go with it. And then by the time we got it, we're like, oh, wow. Like this came out fantastic. So
we have had like one that I can't mention, but like it wasn't the size that we would, you know, like this isn't the size, but okay. Like,
yeah.
That kind of changes some things. We've had we've mentioned this on a show before, so I can say the original Dogma, when we were doing the samples, they sent them to us and we're like, this is good, but it's light. Like the Dogma is like a dark cigar. Like guys are going to be kind of confused. Like, is this a Dogma? The Dogma is a spinoff of the Undercrown. Anyways, they were like, oh, we accidentally wrapped those with, they had another cigar called My Uzi Weighs a Ton. And like, they accidentally put that wrapper on there. So it was a Habano wrapper. And then the eventual Dogma, of course, has the dark San Andreas wrapper on it. But other than that, I mean,
yeah, we've been lucky. I think part of it is the fact that, and maybe this plays into it, is the kind of what you said is, you know, you're sort of known as the whiskey guy. So maybe they just figured, oh, this is an event thing. We don't need to worry too much about what we deliver. Whereas, you know, with the dojo, like it's going to get such a wide sort of notice in the cigar industry itself, like overall, like in the media, it's going to get mentioned. This cigar is going to get mentioned and probably reviewed on some of the bigger cigar review websites and that kind of thing. So, you know, we better make sure that the quality's there and it's not going to fall apart when guys cut it, like you said. And so that could play a role in that. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where I, you don't know what to think. So you're not sure, you know, you assume that maybe it was the thing I said, like maybe he's not going to know, maybe the costs are a little different than what we thought, but I don't really know. I it's something I've always dreamt of doing. I would love to have, you know, 10 years ago, we thought I'd love to have my own spirits line. Okay. Well, we've got that. I'd love to have a cigar line. I'd love to, you know, my first love was not spirits. My first love was cigars. And, taking, you know, going from the vintage 1990 and 1992, and then, you know, you start exploring into the boutique collections, and then my father, and of course Oliva, and you know, some of the classics. And it's like, okay, this is something that I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy. My dentist hates it, but I can't tell you, God damn it. All the freaking cleanings on bondings and stuff. It's the one thing that the cigar is a real problem. How many of you guys smoking a day?
You know, I usually smoke 4 or 5 days out of the week, and on those days it can be anywhere between 2 and 5 cigars, somewhere in something like that.
Same for you, Jordan?
Yeah, I might smoke a little more days than you do, but yeah, I'd say it's more like a session. Like if you're gonna smoke, it's gonna be at least 3.
Have you guys ever thought about bringing to life a real lot? And if this already exists, forgive me, but an actual dojo, an actual cigar dojo, cigar lounge themed.
Oh yeah. Those conversations happen. I don't know if it's like something that it's something that I dream about, but I don't know if I'd really want it. Like, you know, it's kind of like, do I want to be there every day till midnight? I don't know. You know, I kind of like the freedom of, mm-hmm. of what I have right now. Of being able to kind of pop into all these different places and travel and not be tied to like a single location. But don't get me wrong, I dream about that all the time. It's definitely like one of those things that you think about, you know, like, wow, maybe that would be cool. And how could we do this place? And we'd serve this whiskey and we'd have this great bourbon selection and all this kind of stuff. But I don't know if I'd really want to do it or not.
The aesthetic of an actual dojo themed cigar lounge.
Yeah. Like a pagoda kind of thing.
Yeah. Like yeah. I mean, I've been in 1,000 lounges and it's, you know, it's Chesterfield leather chairs and brick walls and paintings, dark burgundy colors and cigar smoke eaters and big screen TVs. I don't think I've ever seen one that took the route of an Asian themed.
Right.
Yeah. I think it could be done. You know,
that'd be cool.
Create like an annual event that everyone comes and flies into. And those exist. I mean, I've been to a few. There's the big Vegas event and there's a few smoke festivals that happen all over. There's a great one and it happens in Houston every year. Yeah. I think it's, I mean, what's next on the agenda for you guys? Are you, what's next in the dojo world of conquering smoke?
Right. So right now, a big part of what our efforts are is, you know, the app, adding features. But every year for Rocky Mountain Cigar Fest, which is the last, it's the last week of August. There's a big festival here. It's a beautiful festival. It's fantastic. But leading up to that, we have several dojo events. One of them is a big party here in the studio that people fly into just for that party. They're not even going to the Rocky Mountain Cigar Fest. They're coming just to the party, which is really cool. And then now we've added on Friday a brewery tour. So we get a bunch of buses and people get on these buses. We go to some of the local, obviously Colorado is great for craft beer, right? It's like one
so
of the,
great.
Yeah. It's one of the three best probably states in the union for craft beer. So there's, you know, we travel around, we go to some breweries, which is really cool. And then the festival is Saturday. So we kind of turn it into a almost a week long thing that we do with Dojo. We call it Dochella Festival.
Which took me months and months to get him to be able to say that properly.
That is a great fucking name.
And it's also our 10th anniversary this year. So
right.
Might have some 10th anniversary type collaborations.
Yeah, we definitely have some big 10th anniversary stuff going down with some huge names in the cigar industry. So that's exciting.
I drove through Colorado. I don't know. It's probably 2015, 2014. And I was on my way to Green River to visit my buddy, Joey. And I was looking at Google Maps or something as I'm driving, and I just see off to the side at late at night, probably midnight, 11, 10 p.m., something like that, that New Belgium Brewing Company is right around the corner. So I got to get a picture. One of my first craft beer loves was Fat Tire. And I go over and I get out of my truck and I set up on a post my phone on a timer to take a picture in front of the sign. I mean, like a total doofus. And some guy, brewery, apparently the brewery operates 24/7, but they're closed to you know, customers. But he comes out, he's like, "Hey man, do you want to come in? Like, what are you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm just wanting to get a picture with the sign. I love this place." And he invited me in and we got to taste through New Belgium stuff, did a brewery tour. I mean, completely unnecessary. I have never, I'm telling you, back to the very beginning of this podcast, I love Colorado. I think you guys have a really, really, really great setup there. So I'm excited to see what's next for you guys. I'd love to, I mean, I'd love to come up there and be a part of it. You know, I mean, Cigar Dojo event, an official Cigar Dojo event would be fantastic. And I bring a group of cigar heads with me.
There you go. Yeah. We'd love to have you.
What, you got to hit the top list. I know this is something that's really popular. You get lots of clicks, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to ask you guys, if you had recommendations for the top three cigars in the morning with a cup of coffee, your breakfast cigar, top three.
Well, off the top of my head, Sober Mesa Brulee. Easy. Perdomo Habano Bourbon Barrel Aged Connecticut. You got any?
Another really, really good one that I like to do in the morning is the Aladino, just the base Aladino. Just a Corojo.
HVC Serie A.
Serie A, yeah, that's a good pick. Aganorsa Leaf Signature. That might be more of an afternoon later, but still, really good. Those are all good with coffee. We did a cigar with Quesada way back in the day called the Dojo Deluxe, and it was one of the best early morning coffee cigars you could ever have. It sold out, though, but God, man, that's one I'd love to revisit because it was a fantastic coffee stick for sure.
All right. Last question. Top worst three cigars you've ever had.
Oh, jeez.
no comment. No comment,
I,
no comment.
No, I do have
you
one.
You don't even really remember those.
I do have one. When I first started smoking cigars, like when I first started really getting into it, we went on this cruise and I bought some cigars on on the boat, and they were in like a glass tube, right? And I don't even remember the name of it. It doesn't matter. But I was so excited because I was like buying cigars, and it was like I just feel so cool like buying cigars.
A glass tube feels cool for sure.
It felt cool, yeah. And so then it was a couple months later. I go out onto my porch. I open that bad boy up. I'm gonna just have this nice, relaxing cigar, and it was just like throat lava. I mean, it was just horrible. There was absolutely no redeeming quality whatsoever.
Well, it's so funny because, like, I remember at the time we thought we were clever because we were like, these couldn't be fakes because, like, everyone says, like, if they're sold in a glass top box, they're fake. Like, that's guaranteed. Real Cubans, they don't.
Those samplers are not real.
They don't make them like that, right? And we're like, why would the guys that are faking the real thing sell them in a different style packaging? It doesn't make any sense. And then, I mean, then later on, you realize like they know that the guy that's buying this that is not going to look into it, so they just package it in the most convenient package, and that's why they do it that way. But we were like, yeah, but you know, like, why would they package it? In
yeah,
the
like,
way
why
that
make
wasn't
a why make a
way?
Counterfeit that was so obviously counterfeit?
Yeah, like everybody knows, but everybody doesn't know apparently, and so yeah, we bought fakes. You know,
yeah, I was one of those people. My honeymoon in 2012. Or in the Dominican Republic, and he's like, here's a 5-pack sampler for 150. And I was like, nah. He's like, all right, $60. And I was like, what a deal.
That was a clue for you right there. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I think a lot of people miss is that, and just in case anyone missed it, if you buy anywhere in the world a box of cigars, whether it's a 5-pack or a 10-pack, and they come in that little plastic viewing window, the top is like a glass or something. Those are all guaranteed 100% fake. They just don't 100%. Sell them that way. Now, I don't know if this has ever been discussed openly, but we have a lot of international listeners, so this is for them. What are the best cigar websites for ordering Cubans that are safe? I've got one.
Okay.
I've got two, actually. One takes longer than the other. I think it's Cigars of Cuba.
Okay.
They're based in Belgium, I believe. And you can pay 7% insurance. Well, again, I'm not encouraging you to buy for the U.S., and then Cigars of Habano, right? The Hong Kong site. So are there any other recommendations you guys would, put out in the world for great, actual great, good Cubans?
I think whenever we've done that, we've used Cigars of Habanos, but yeah. We almost never do that. There's just for us, there's just not enough reason why we would.
Well, there's too many good local options too. I mean, or stuff that is available.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the non-Cubans are as good. In my opinion, they're better than Cubans these days. So I don't have
Nicaragua.
Yeah. Nicaragua is.
I am a fucking fan of Nicaragua sticks. I'll
say that like the best cigar in the world might be a Cuban. I wouldn't doubt that. But the worst cigar in the world is also a Cuban.
What a great sentence.
So I'm perfectly happy buying Nicaraguan cigars.
Yeah. You know, there was a time when, you know, we really strive to, you know, get our hands on Cubans and all that. But the sort of the big issue with Cuban cigars is, you know, Cuban cigars don't really have the advantage of getting the blending, like, you know, a Dominican cigar, a Honduran cigar, a Nicaraguan cigar. Like a Nicaraguan cigar might have, you know, a Dominican filler with some Honduran filler and then a binder from wherever.
Africa.
Yeah, from Africa or something. So you get these really cool, complex flavors. Cuban cigars basically have one flavor profile. Now, if you like that flavor profile, and I do like that flavor profile, but not all the time. Like I only have those every now and then. It's just, it's a certain flavor profile. It's kind of like this musky, note to it, which it can be extremely good, but there's just so much more to offer.
Not only the profile, the construction, I don't think is even close. They, you know, a good Cuban, a lot of times are going to need 5 years minimum age in your humidor. And you know, who knows if it's going to draw. Okay. Nicaraguan cigar, you get that thing, it's ready to go.
What? So if you had to put out there a specific country to focus on in terms of not just the best tobacco I've ever had is from X. That's not what I mean. But if you had to make a recommendation in the world for a plethora of options of producers produced in that country, five or six of your favorite sticks all come from one country. But what's the country that you would recommend most for people to focus on? Walk into a store and say, hey, I'm looking for Dominican. I'm looking for Nicaraguan, Honduras. What's the country that people should be looking for in terms of breadth of availability, regularly available, and ultimately consistent?
Well, the king of all is Nicaragua, right? Like Esteli, Nicaragua, which is about 2 hour drive from Managua. It's a little tiny town. Imagine, Greeley, it's smaller than Greeley, Colorado. It's a tiny little town. Think of Aspen. You've been to Aspen, Christopher. So think of Aspen. But in a town about maybe twice the size of Aspen, there's 64 cigar factories. So you've got Padron, you've got My Father, you've got Lazona, you've got Drew Estate, AJ Fernandez, like all of the biggies are there. And the really the best stuff is coming out of Nicaragua. I mean, there's really the big three. You've got Nicaragua, Dominican Republic, and Honduras. Those are sort of like the big three. And then you got a lot of great tobacco that comes out of Connecticut in the United States. But the big three are those countries that I just mentioned. So I say without question, Nicaragua, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a personal preference. Like, you know, a lot of you got to know sort of the generic Dominicans are going to have like a floral, maybe some like a mushroomy kind of a flavor to them. Nicaraguans are going to be earthy and cocoa, maybe some coffee kind of flavor. And then Honduran might have like earthy / sourdough kind of flavor to it. But out of that, Nicaragua is going to still have the most variety.
Nicaragua it is. I couldn't agree more.
I think we've settled that one.
We have. We've agreed. Listen, guys, where can people find you? Where can they follow you? Where should we drive the people who are interested in cigars and, of course, camaraderie?
Yeah. So we have our main site is cigardojo.com, which is where we do cigar reviews, cigar news, that kind of stuff. If you want to join the community, that's dojoverse.com. That's the app. That's where pretty much all the action really goes down. It's it's amazing that if you really want to get into cigars, just go to dojoverse.com. You'll start to learn from the other guys there, maybe, or you can maybe teach if you want. If you know a lot about cigars, you can teach people. We have a podcast every Wednesday night, which is called Flavor Odyssey, where it's a pairing podcast. So that'll happen tonight. And then our big show is every Friday night, which is Smoke Night Live. That happens at 9 p.m. Eastern. And so I think that's our main, that's it. That's it in a nutshell, baby.
That's it. Yeah. And for those listening, do not go back and watch my episode of Smoke Night Live. Catch me on the next one in which I use my 4K camera.
Christopher, we got to have you back on, brother. We'll reprise that and you can, we'll have
redeem myself, myself. All right, guys. Well, listen, thank you so much for doing the show. I can't thank you enough. And dude, thanks so much for being here.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having us, man.
Thanks, Jordan. Thanks, Eric.